This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Welcome back to At Your Service, the place where it helps to have a point. So, and I want to compliment, we had a caller last hour called in, disagreed with me, but we had an excellent exchange of ideas. And that's what I enjoy about doing this show. That's why I'm here. Right here with you is this marketplace of ideas, this exchange of opinions. I love that. And obviously you do too, because you're listening and you're texting. We've gotten a bajillion texts, which I'm not sure exactly what number a bajillion is, but we got them here tonight. And so appreciate you listening. Thanks for tuning in to At Your Service. And again, I always like it when callers disagree with me. I enjoy that. Because that's that, again, that clash of ideas where we can actually learn something. At the end of the call with the caller last hour, we actually agreed on a lot of things once we started talking. So always, I would always encourage you, if you want to call in and disagree with me, don't be afraid. Love that as always. One of the stories that Brad Choate just covered was this issue regarding the Dobbs shooting case that occurred yesterday. And from my legal perspective, what I find interesting about this is that both the shooter and the victim, both of them will probably pursue workers' compensation benefits. And fights at work are often an avenue for a workers' compensation claim. In fact, in the last 4 months, I think I've taken three cases to trial in work comp situations involving fights at work. So it happens a lot. This is not necessarily unique other than the use of the firearm. That is unique. I don't typically see those. I've seen one with a firearm several years ago, but that certainly is not common. My favorite fight case at work, though, was a case that I had where the claimant picked a fight with a coworker. But there were two problems with this. First of all, the guy that picked the fight was about 5'5", and the guy he picked a fight with was an ex-Marine who came in about 6'1". And, folks, it was an extremely short fight. It did not last long, and it did not end well for the guy who started the fight, who was the 5'5 guy. I took that case to trial and won that, too. But I'm thinking, dude, if you're going to pick a fight with someone at work, the ex-Marine is not the guy that you pick. Anyone else is fine, but don't pick him. So we got to keep that in mind if you're ever anticipating starting an altercation anywhere or even in the workplace. At the top of the hour, CBS News covered something, and I want to come back to that in the couple of minutes that we have here, because Matt Gaetz, in this strange thing that we're seeing from Capitol Hill of Kevin McCarthy can't nail down the speaker's position. Matt Gaetz nominated Donald J. Trump to be Speaker of the House. And it reminded me that under the Constitution, it does not specifically state that the Speaker of the House has to actually be a member of Congress. Anyone could be technically nominated and approved to be the Speaker of the House. So, for example, if everyone right now loves Zelensky, he could be the next Speaker of the House, at least legally, certainly not politically or realistically, but there would be no prohibition against it. In fact, Matt Gaetz isn't the first. I don't have a list, and I'd have to research it, but there have been cases in the past where others have nominated non-members of Congress to be the Speaker of the House. So this is not the first time this has happened, and it probably won't be the last either. Because you can just nominate and vote for apparently whoever you want when you're trying to pick the Speaker of the House. I'm going to take a break here a little bit early because I want to leave time for my conversation. Coming up after this break, I'm going to talk to Attorney John Davis, former judge, former federal prosecutor, current criminal defense attorney. And we're going to break down some of the information that was released today in the probable cause statement regarding the Idaho murders. You're going to want to stick around for this because you won't hear this anywhere else except right here on At Your Service, Camo X.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With AllTrails, you can discover and experience the best of nature with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with AllTrails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
It's been about 7 weeks since those brutal murders of university students in Idaho. And the suspect, 28-year-old Brian Christopher Koberger, he was extradited to Ohio just this very morning. And joining us to discuss this investigation is a former judge, former U.S. Assistant Attorney General, and now criminal defense attorney John Davis with the law firm of Kessler Williams. Hey, John, welcome back to KMOX.
Hey, Brad, how are you?
I'm doing great, sir. It's great to talk to you. We swapped some emails today about the probable cause statement, and I'll get into that in just a moment. But the suspect was a PhD student in criminology at a nearby university. And the police haven't said anything, at least that I've seen, about a possible motive. But we did have this probable cause statement. What did you see in that probable cause statement that to you was interesting?
Well, let's start off with the probable cause statement itself. No investigation is going to reveal everything they have for just the preliminary step of a probable cause statement, because it's exactly that. Was a crime probably committed, and did this person probably commit it? That's a lot different than beyond a reasonable doubt if you were at a jury. So they're only going to put in enough that gets them beyond that hurdle of probable cause. Now, what was interesting that it probably surpassed that was the DNA evidence that was on the holster of the
sheath,
the knife that was allegedly used. So, I mean, I read that probable cause statement. My memory is it's 19 pages long.
It is.
It is comprehensive, but I'm next to guarantee you there's more things coming as time goes on that didn't have to be revealed just to get to probable cause.
Well, let's talk about that, because the probable cause statement states that the police or investigators found this DNA from the suspect. They didn't know who the suspect was at the time, but they found DNA that did not belong to any of the victims on this sheath that was mistakenly left at the scene of the crime. And then based upon that DNA, investigators went and looked at genetics and genetic websites to try to develop a pool or at least a lead to go to where this suspect is. Now, the investigators, I also was reported today that the investigators then obtained DNA from the suspect's father in Pennsylvania. Walk us through, how would that happen procedurally? If the police have this evidence and they want to compare it, but they don't want to go in and get a search warrant and tip off the suspect that they're investigating him, how do they go about getting DNA evidence from the father?
Well, there's a lot of steps between grabbing that sheath and getting to Pennsylvania to get the DNA from the father.
Yeah, and that's what I want to talk to you about. What are those steps?
Well, what the probable cause statement spells out is that they used everything in the toy box that the feds have for electronic forensics. So the Hyundai Elantra that was seen out in front of the house, they were able to, according to the probable cause statement, they were able to connect that car to the suspect as the driver by cell phone evidence, by license plate readers, by following that thing around from Washington to the crime scene and noticing that the car was in front of that residence days before, weeks before the murder, thinking that he's stalking them. And the way they did it was ingenious. That led them all the way to Pennsylvania They went in the house. The father gave consent to search the house. They grabbed something out of a waste basket. It didn't say what it was. Could have been a Kleenex, could have been a soda can, could have been a cigarette butt, could have been anything that they get DNA off of. And they determined that the DNA came back to the father of the suspect. And lo and behold, the suspect lived there and, in fact, was his son.
We're talking to former U.S. Assistant Attorney General, or attorney rather, and now criminal defense attorney, John Davis. He's with the law firm of Kessler Williams. And John, I want to unpack, because what you just said over the last minute and a half contains a lot of more information. For example, from the probable cause statement, the cell phone evidence showed that the suspect did not have his cell phone on or with him at the time of the crime. But explain to us, though, because in the probable cause statement, it demonstrated that as far back as August, he had been, for lack of a better term, casing the place. And how can police go backwards in time in order to obtain cell phone records to demonstrate that a suspect is in the area of where a future crime was actually committed?
Well, there's a couple things. Well, there's more than a couple things, but there's a couple things that this investigation used. Pen registers and trap and trace and what I call cell tower dumps, which is the forensics of cell towers. So if your cell phone is on right now, and it probably is, it is pinging off of the cell tower that's closest to wherever we are right now. If there was a murder committed on the 4th of July last year, and I think, as an FBI agent, let's say, I think this person committed it, I could go back and ask for your historic cell tower information on the 4th of July. And lo and behold, your phone is pinging off the tower, you know, at Kirkwood or wherever the murder occurs.
But let's take the opposite side of that, John. And this isn't what happened in the present case, but the opposite can also happen, right? In other words, if the police or the investigators or the FBI, they don't have a specific suspect, they can go to the cell tower or towers that are closest to the scene of a crime and obtain the identities of everyone's cell phone that was in the vicinity of that tower within a specified time frame. Isn't that called geofencing?
That is geofencing, but that's a lot of information, and that is geofencing, but it's hard to narrow it down. So in this case, they got the cell phone information off of the license plate. They connected that Elantra with the license plate from him in Pennsylvania. They figured out who the guy was that the license plate was registered to. They found out his cell phone number. They go to the cell phone company and get the records. Now, a pen register and a trap and trace is what you and I call caller ID. The government, it's not a big burden at all. You have to prove that you're a federal agent. You have to prove there's a U.S. attorney involved, and you have to prove that there's a federal investigation going on, and this phone number might be involved with it. And that's all you have to do to convince a magistrate judge in federal court to issue what's called a pen register, trap and trace. And then for 30, 60, 90 days, every number that phone calls or every number that calls that phone is traced, not what was said, not the texts that were made, but just the numbers that were called. And they can tell who this person is communicating to.
And I don't think that most people understand the complexity or the dimensions by which police have all of these tools, that authorities have all of these electronic tools at their disposal to do these types of investigations. And you've helped explain some of that.
You know, it helps a lot that the Moscow police, the Idaho police, had the help of the FBI, because this is generally a federal toolbox that is pulled from. I've never seen a state prosecution that used pen registers or trap and traces, anything of that measure, or cell dumps, anything like that. But with the federal involvement in it, they've got a lot more tools to work with. And I'm sure that went a long way to making this investigation as successful as it was.
Yeah, we're talking to criminal defense attorney John Davis with the law firm of Kessler Williams. And John, as I was looking through this 19-page probable cause statement, there were several pages in there that were redacted. Tell us about why would information be redacted from a public release of a probable cause statement?
Well, first off, the judge who made the probable cause statement be released didn't have to do that. So that was discretionary on the magistrate judge that did that, or associate circuit judge that did that in Idaho. However, there is material in there that could either be sensitive to the investigation or it can be sensitive to somebody's identity, social security number, address, telephone number, things like that, that they're going to redact that the public cannot see. My read of the 19 pages that was not redacted, I don't think there was anything really substantive that was missing. They certainly made the probable cause standard.
And part of that was also done, John, with something called license plate readers. What are license plate readers? I mean, the name implies what they are, but how is it that investigators or authorities use license plate readers in a case like this?
Yeah, I've used them hundreds of times in investigations when I was a U.S. attorney, and you can even use them as state prosecutors, too. Especially in St. Louis area, there are license plate readers that are basically cameras that if I know a suspect may have burglarized the house or killed somebody or something like that, you can go through the cameras at all the different intersections in a metropolitan area and look for that license plate number. And so it's not just a white Hyundai Elantra, it's one registered to that plate. So you know who that is. Wait, you don't know who it is. You know what car it is that went through, but then surveillance picks them up, in this case, at a grocery store. And then the security cam picks that gentleman up at the grocery store buying whatever it was he was buying at the cash register to prove that that's who was driving that car.
Well, I want to talk about the DNA evidence again, and now I want you to take off your prosecuting attorney's hat and put on your criminal defense attorney hat, because if the DNA from the suspect, and we have to assume this is the case, matches the DNA that was found at the scene of the crime, is that definitive, and how definitive in terms of guilt, and how would a defense attorney challenge that particular evidence?
I'll tell you, Bradley, I would much rather prosecute this case than defend it, from what I know so far. But
DNA evidence at the scene like this, in of itself, just demonstrates that he was at the scene of the crime, not that he necessarily committed the crime.
That's exactly right. But the fact that it's on a sheath that holds a knife.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah.
That's bad. Ooh, that's bad.
Like I said, I'd rather prosecute than defend this one.
Right. But it is definitive, though, in terms of DNA evidence. Things have come a long way, and a lot of times I think we get jaded by when we watch Law and Order and criminal TV shows where everything's wrapped up in 44 minutes. But in this instance, back to real life, DNA evidence has progressed to the point where it is definitive, at least in terms of placing this defendant at the scene of the crime.
Yeah, and in this case, I think the DNA evidence is icing on the cake. It may be circumstantial, what the probable cause statement says, and I still believe there's going to be more information that comes out later. It's just enough probable cause to make probable cause. But the circumstantial evidence that his cell phone is traced basically stalking the area where the murders occurred, and he turns his phone off at the instant hour where the murders allegedly occurred because he's a criminology student and he knows they're tracing the phone. But you don't turn your phone off on the days that you're stalking the house because you're not committing a crime. But on the day you do commit the crime, mysteriously the phone goes off at 4 a.m.
Yeah, that gets to be pretty damaging. Hey, we're going to have to take a break here in a moment, John, but I want to get this question in because this is the inside baseball analysis that most folks are not accustomed to, unless they do this like you do. So walk us through what's going to be happening in the coming weeks and months procedurally in terms of maybe challenging the evidence, challenging the collection of the evidence, negotiations going into a potential trial. What are some of the highlights of what we'll see procedurally over the coming months?
Well, the negotiations are going to be ongoing throughout probably more than months. But he's charged with first-degree murder and burglary, which are serious penalties in Idaho. But procedurally, what you'll see is at the pretrial level, the lower court in Missouri, we call the Associate Circuit Court. In federal court, they call it Magistrate Court. The pretrial matters are going to be motions to suppress. Whatever evidence they have, did the government seize it properly, meaning constitutionally? Did they violate his Fourth Amendment rights to privacy? Did they violate his Fifth Amendment right to remain silent or anything of that matter? You're going to see motions to suppress, things like that. And that'll be litigated out until you reach either a preliminary hearing or an indictment from a grand jury that sends it up to circuit court, which is what we call it in Missouri, or district court if you're in federal court. And that's the trial level. And that's where plea negotiations really happen to try and dispose of this thing short of a jury trial. But in all honesty, I really don't see that happening here.
Well, because of the depth and the width and breadth of the evidence?
Yes.
Well, Idaho has a death penalty. And is this the type of case where the death penalty would be on the table? And how might prosecutors use the possibility of the death penalty in negotiations with the suspect's attorney?
Bradley, the fact that you and I are in St. Louis, Missouri, talking about murders in Idaho, yes, death penalty is on the table. And just like anybody else, do you want to negotiate that? You want to roll the dice or go to trial? So honestly think that the prosecutor's office is going to put the death penalty on the table and force the defendant to say yay or nay.
So in other words, just to make it clear, the negotiations here would go, the prosecutors lay out the case for the death penalty, and the defense attorney representing the suspect here would say, I'll plead guilty to murder as long as the death penalty is removed from the sentencing.
Correct. Take it off the table, and then we can negotiate.
Very good.
Which would be life without parole.
Correct. Right. Yeah. This guy's never going to get out one way or the other. John Davis, you're with Kessler Williams. If folks have questions or need their own defense attorney, how can they reach you?
My best number is 314-696-9229. But I'm also at john.davis@kesslerwilliams.com and would love to hear from you.
John, great to talk to you as always, my friend. And keep in touch.
Will do. You too.
And I'm sure I'll be reaching out to you as this case progresses. I want to open up the phone lines here, 314-436-7900. What are your thoughts on this case? How it's transpired? How it occurred? Do you have theories about why this guy did it? He was a PhD candidate in criminology. Was he really trying to move this from lecture to lab and really try to try out his own experiments? What do you think? 314-436-7900 on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Idaho murders case. What do you think? What do you think about a motive? Why did he do it? What do you think about the evidence that you heard discussed here tonight or elsewhere? Is he guilty? Is he not guilty? What are your thoughts? 314-436-7900. Call or text. And Barbara's been holding through the break. Hey, Barbara, welcome to KMOX.
Yes. I wanted to tell you, I think the evidence proves probably he did do it. And I don't know why, but he's a bad man. He murdered four people, innocent people. So he'll have to face the consequences of his actions.
And there's actually a lot of victims here, Barbara, not just the four that were killed, but the families of those, they're all victims. They're going to be traumatized for life. Even the family of the suspect, that family is going to be traumatized for life. So the saying goes that sin splatters, and this event is going to splatter on a lot of people, isn't it?
Yes, and on his family, too. And he seemed like a very intelligent man with going for a PhD. I couldn't understand how he could do such a terrible thing.
Mm. Well, I one of the things, Barbara, I don't know if you heard about this, but it was published the last couple of weeks that he was actually trolling on Reddit, looking for people who had committed heinous crimes to explain to him for a so-called research paper that he was writing. I don't know if that's true or not, but it was true that he was asking people to contact him and explain the why they committed crimes and how they felt during the commission of those crimes. Do you think that for a guy who's studying criminology, he just decided, listen, I've been studying this for so long, I wonder if I could get away with the perfect murder?
No, there is no perfect murder because there's always evidence, and the FBI is very smart, and the CIA, and there are cell phone towers all over the place that can show your location, and even a regular rotary phone could tell you who's been calling you and who you're talking to and everything. In this day and age, there is no way that you should be able to get away with the perfect murder.
Very good, Barbara. Hey, thank you for calling in this evening. It was great to talk to you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Angie, what are your thoughts on this this entire criminal investigation and where it's going?
Well, this is my theory. I think he's going to say, yes, I was there, but I found him dead.
Okay, and so that would explain why he was at the scene. But how do you explain away the fact that he had been stalking that place for so long, for months, going back to August of last year, and the fact that his DNA was found on a knife sheath? How do you explain that away?
Well, the knife sheath, first of all, I don't know what a sheath is.
A knife sheath is the case that a knife is kept in.
That's what I think. But what I think is, he's, again, going to admit he's pretty savvy, and he thinks, but I think he's dumb as a rock. But anyway.
Barbara, or Angie, I think you're exactly right. He is as dumb as a rock because he kept trying to case the place, and he left his cell phone on. Every time he went to check out the place, he left his cell phone on. He must not have been a very good criminology student, or he would have figured out, leave the phone at home, dude.
I agree.
so you think he's gonna say that he actually went in and he already found them dead?
Yes, I do. Just to qualify it, I think he's gonna say again because he thinks he's so smart. He's gonna admit, well, yeah, I did stalk him. I had some kind of a weird obsession to maybe even the boy. Maybe it wasn't a girl thing. Maybe he liked the young man that was killed. And I came to, I'm guilty conscious. I came in in the dead of night, and I turned my cell phone off. I don't know why. And I wanted to, you know, just be there. And if they're not awake or whatever, where I'm going with this is he's going to somehow admit to all of it. So what are you going to do when the guy says, well, I didn't mean to, so I'm sorry, I came to apologize, but I found him seriously dead. And you know,
that's a good theory, Angie. That's a good theory. It's going to be hard to argue that in with the overwhelming amount of evidence, but that's as good of a theory as anything.
Well, good.
Thank
I'm
you
glad of that.
Thank you for sharing. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
I tend to think that
this episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Case. What do you think? What do you think about a motive? Why did he do it? What do you think about the evidence that you heard discussed here tonight or elsewhere? Is he guilty? Is he not guilty? What are your thoughts? 314-436-7900. Call or text. And Barbara's been holding through the break. Hey, Barbara, welcome to KMOX.
Yes. I wanted to tell you, I think the evidence proves probably he did do it. And I don't know why. But he's a bad man. He murdered four people, innocent people. So he'll have to face the consequences of his actions.
And there's actually a lot of victims here, Barbara, not just the four that were killed, but the families of those, they're all victims. They're going to be traumatized for life. Even the family of the suspect, that family is going to be traumatized for life. So the saying goes that sin splatters, and this event is going to splatter on a lot of people, isn't it?
Yes, and on his family, too. And he seemed like a very intelligent man with going for a PhD. I couldn't understand how he could do such a terrible thing.
Mm. Well, I one of the things, Barbara, I don't know if you heard about this, but it was published in the last couple of weeks that he was actually trolling on Reddit looking for people who had committed heinous crimes to explain to him for a so-called research paper that he was writing. I don't know if that's true or not, but it was true that he was asking people to contact him and explain the why they committed crimes and how they felt during the commission of those crimes. Do you think that for a guy who's studying criminology, he just decided, listen, I've been studying this for so long, I wonder if I could get away with the perfect murder?
Nah, there is no perfect murder because there's always evidence, and the FBI is very smart, and the CIA, And there's cell phone towers all over the place that can show your location, and even a regular rotary phone could tell you who's been calling you and who you're talking to and everything. In this day and age, there is no way that you should be able to get away with the perfect murder.
Very good, Barbara. Hey, thank you for calling in this evening. It was great to talk to you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Angie, what are your thoughts on this entire criminal investigation and where it's going?
Well, this is my theory. I think he's going to say, yes, I was there, but I found him dead.
Okay, and so that would explain why he was at the scene, but how do you explain away the fact that he had been stalking that place for so long, for months, going back to August of last year, and the fact that his DNA was found on a knife sheath? How do you explain that away?
Well, the knife sheath, first of all, I don't know what a sheath is.
A knife sheath is the case that a knife is kept in.
That's what I figured. But what I think is, he's, again, going to admit, he's pretty savvy, and he thinks, but I think he's dumb as a rock. But anyway.
Barbara, or Angie, I think you're exactly right. He is as dumb as a rock, because he kept trying to case the place, and he left his cell phone on. Every time he went to check out the place, he left his cell phone on. He must not have been a very good criminology student, or he would have figured out, leave the phone at home, dude.
I agree.
so you think he's going to say that he was he actually went in and he already found them dead?
Yes, I do. Just to qualify it, I think he's going to say again, because he thinks he's so smart, he's going to admit, well, yeah, I did stalk him. I had some kind of a weird obsession to maybe even the boy. Maybe it wasn't a girl thing. Maybe he liked the young man that was killed. And I came to, I'm guilty conscious. I came in in the dead of night, and I turned my cell phone off. I don't know why. And I wanted to, you know, just be there. And if they're not awake or whatever, where I'm going with this is he's going to somehow admit to all of it. So what are you going to do when the guy says, well, I didn't mean to, so I'm sorry, I came to apologize, but I found him seriously dead. And you know,
that's a good theory, Angie. That's a good theory. It's got to be hard to argue that in with the overwhelming amount of evidence, but that's as good of a theory as anything.
Oh, good.
Thank
I'm
you
glad of that.
Thank you for sharing. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
I tend to think that he's going to claim insanity, that he had been studying criminology. He became obsessed with it to the point that he lost the ability to reason. And when you lose the ability to reason, you at least then have the argument of saying, I'm not responsible because I lost the ability to determine the difference between right and wrong. Now, again, I don't believe that's really the case, but when you're faced with overwhelming evidence, that's about the only card you've got left to play. Before we take a break here, there's something I want to address, and then after the break, I'm going to get into some of this genetic genealogy evidence. But one person texted in and said, Brad, you obviously don't like geofence warrants, but I love them. If you don't have anything to worry about, you're okay. Well, I understand that perspective. And yes, obviously the person who texted has heard me rant about geofencing before, because it's obviously good from an investigation standpoint, and I'm not saying it's wrong, but the reason why I'm uncomfortable with it is from this perspective. Traditionally, the way a crime is investigated, and this case will be a textbook for years, because we'll see how this happens right before our eyes in the media. And the way it goes is you follow the evidence. You start collecting evidence and you see where the evidence goes. But with geofencing, it's the opposite. You have a pool of potential suspects because, again, with geofencing, the police contact the cell phone tower owner or the provider, and the police say, or the FBI says, give us all of the cell phones who are in for people who are in this area during this time frame. And that's going to be an enormous amount of data, because think about it. If you've got a cell tower on Highway 40, how many people are going to go past that cell tower during any given 2 or 3 hour time frame? It's going to be in the tens of thousands of people, if not more. And so with geofencing, you have as an investigator, as the police, as the FBI, you're starting with a pool of people and you're investigating folks who are most likely innocent, and you're ruling them out as a suspect. Instead of following the evidence to determine who the suspect is, you're investigating people whom you know in advance are not suspects. Because if 40,000 people pass by that cell tower during the relevant time frame, 40,000 people didn't commit this crime. So you're going to be investigating 39,999 people who are innocent to try to find that one person who's guilty. That's the first problem I have about it. The second problem is that people simply don't know. Now, obviously, this guy knew enough to turn off his cell phone when he committed the crime, but he left his cell phone on when he was casing the place over the prior months, and he left his cell phone on many times when he was driving up and down the street. So he obviously wasn't bright enough to say, if I'm planning on committing a crime, I better turn my cell phone off or simply leave the darn thing at home. So those are the reasons why I don't like geofencing. Is it legal? Yes. Do investigators use it? Yes. I don't think they could have used it in this instance, but I bet you that they tried. But it didn't work because the guy didn't have his cell phone. But they used what John Davis explained as pen registers and trace traps to go backwards in time to obtain the relevant cell phone data to show exactly where he was at any given time. And to me, I applaud the investigators here. I think they've done a fabulous job. Excuse me. And it's ironic because police had been complaining, or rather the public had been complaining, and the media had been complaining for a long time about the lack of progress in the investigation. But once it got to this point, it looks pretty good. If you read that probable cause statement, they did a fabulous job, and I applaud the police in Idaho. I also applaud the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office, who undoubtedly helped them with this case. We're going to take a break. I'm going to wrap up some thoughts in the next segment about genetic DNA testing and genealogy testing, and why that's an absolute crisis in terms of our privacy. Brad Young, at your service. Don't go away. Sliding into the last segment here on At Your Service tonight. Thanks for staying up late with us. I had one person text in. This DA better not offer any type of plea deal, period. And I understand the sentiment there. But I'll tell you what, a good plea deal here. It's not like the prosecutor is going to plead this down to a muffler violation, okay? It's not going to be plead guilty to a muffler violation, pay a $200 fine, and then we'll let you go. I mean, obviously, that's not going to happen. But one plea deal that I think would be worthwhile would be a plea deal where the prosecutors say, plead guilty to everything, all four murders, burglary, plead guilty to all of that, and we will take the death penalty off the table. Now, I understand, and conceptually, and I've talked about this before on the air, conceptually, I have no problem with the death penalty. I don't have a problem with it. If you commit that type of crime, it's okay if the state wants to execute you. The problem that I have with the death penalty is how it's taken out and how it is worked out in the process. Because there are only two reasons for the death penalty. Only two reasons. Number one is that is the ultimate justice, the ultimate penalty, rather, for the ultimate crime. You take a life, your life is taken. So it's justice from that perspective. Secondly, the second rationale for the death penalty is deterrence. That if people say, well, listen, this guy committed murder, he was executed, I better not commit murder so I don't get executed, and deter people from committing the crimes. The problem with the death penalty as it is carried out in this country is that it takes 20 years or longer for that death penalty to be executed. They execute the penalty and they execute the prisoner. But it takes so long that at that point, is it truly justice if there is a 20-year gap between the time that the crime is committed and the time that the death penalty is taken? Is that 20-year gap, is that really justice served? And secondly, are there any criminals in this country that would say, well, the dude lived 20 years on death row before he was executed. My goodness, I might as well go ahead and commit the crime. So in other words, it kind of fails on both the justice and the deterrence perspective. So I don't have a problem with the concept of the death penalty, just a problem with how it's carried out. Now, in the time that we have remaining, this is something I've talked about before on this show, and now we have an opportunity to discuss it in a real-life situation, because folks are always wanting to do this DNA testing. Two of my kids wanted to do it, and I said, no, you're not doing that. There's no way you're going to voluntarily give up your DNA. And what people do, because they want to know, am I Scottish? Am I Irish? Did my relatives come from Lithuania or whatever it might be? And that's fine and a worthwhile to do. But in this instance, just like the first case that I heard this done in was in 2018 with the Golden State Killer case, where the police took DNA at the crime scene. They created a false account on DNA web genealogy websites, and they uploaded the DNA profile. And then that connected the prosecutors in the 2018 Golden State Killer case with a pool of potential suspects. So at that point, they knew the family where the killer was from. And so they simply walked through the genealogy of the family tree and found which people fit the suspect profile who committed the crime. And then they arrested him. They then took a DNA sample from the suspect. It matched the DNA found at the scene. He was convicted of murder and sentenced for the life in prison without parole. That's exactly what was done in this Idaho murders case as well. So the problem that I have is that family members who are wanting to cure their curiosity about their genetic heritage are actually providing evidence that will be used to convict a relative of a heinous crime. So when those people did that, did they intend to provide evidence to convict a future relative? No, of course not. They were just trying to see if they were from Czechoslovakia or not. But the unintended consequence of that curiosity could very well imprison a family member for the rest of their lives. So I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm not saying that it's illegal, improper, unethical, or immoral. What I'm suggesting is that we have no privacy today. I do it every day in my law firm. I can find anything about anybody in about an hour and a half through the resources that I have. And if there's something I can't find, I hire an investigator who will do it digitally and find it for me. And I find stuff all the time. I could tell you a lot of stories about things I've found. Even last week, I found some things that the opposing counsel didn't even know about her own client. But the point is that all of that information can be found. The last vestige of privacy that you have in this country is the privacy of your DNA. And to me, it is astounding that people voluntarily disclose that last element of privacy that we have as human beings in a digital technological society, and we give it up voluntarily to see if we're Scottish. To me, that is the problem. Not necessarily the methods by the police, but that we shouldn't be voluntarily disclosing. It's just dropping our pants to the world in the last vestige of privacy. Hey, I hope you've enjoyed the show tonight. Make sure that you stick around, because coming up at 10 o'clock, we will have the best of the Dave Glover Show. That's up here from 10 to 11 right after the news. This has been At Your Service on Camo X. Thanks for sticking around with us. I will talk to you next week. sliding into the last segment here on At Your Service tonight. Thanks for staying up late with us. I had one person text in, this DA better not offer any type of plea deal, period. And I understand the sentiment there. But I'll tell you what, a good plea deal here. It's not like the prosecutor is going to plead this down to a muffler violation, okay? It's not going to be plead guilty to a muffler violation, pay a $200 fine, and then we'll let you go. I mean, obviously, that's not going to happen. But one plea deal that I think would be that would be worthwhile would be a plea deal where the prosecutors say, plead guilty to everything, all four murders, burglary, plead guilty to all of that, and we will take the death penalty off the table. Now, I understand, and conceptually, and I've talked about this before on the air, conceptually, I have no problem with the death penalty. I don't have a problem with it. If you commit that type of crime, it's okay if the state wants to execute you. The problem that I have with the death penalty is how it's taken out and how it is rather worked out in the process. Because there are only two reasons for the death penalty. Only two reasons. Number one is that is the ultimate justice, the ultimate penalty, rather, for the ultimate crime. You take a life, your life is taken. So it's justice from that perspective. Secondly, the second rationale for the death penalty is deterrence. That if people say, well, listen, this guy committed murder, he was executed, I better not commit murder so I don't get executed, and deter people from committing the crimes. The problem with the death penalty as it is carried out in this country is that it takes 20 years or longer for that death penalty to be executed. They execute the penalty and they execute the prisoner. But it takes so long that at that point, is it truly justice if there is a 20-year gap between the time that the crime is committed and the time that the death penalty is taken? Is that 20-year gap, is that really justice served? And secondly, are there any criminals in this country that would say, well, the dude lived 20 years on death row before he was executed. My goodness, I might as well go ahead and commit the crime. So in other words, it kind of fails on both the justice and the deterrence perspective. So I don't have a problem with the concept of the death penalty, just a problem with how it's carried out. Now, in the time that we have remaining, this is something I've talked about before on this show, and now we have an opportunity to discuss it in a real life situation, because folks are always wanting to do this DNA testing. Two of my kids wanted to do it, and I said, no, you're not doing that. There's no way you're going to voluntarily give up your DNA. And what people do, because they want to know, am I Scottish? Am I Irish? Did my relatives come from Lithuania? Or whatever it might be. And that's fine and a worthwhile to do. But in this instance, just like the first case that I heard this done in was in 2018 with the Golden State Killer case, where the police took DNA at the crime scene. They created a false account on DNA web genealogy websites, and they uploaded the DNA profile. And then that connected the prosecutors in the 2018 Golden State Killer case with a pool of potential suspects. So at that point, they knew the family where the killer was from. And so they simply walked through the genealogy of the family tree and found which people fit the suspect profile who committed the crime. And then they arrested him. They then took a DNA sample from the suspect. It matched the DNA found at the scene. He was convicted of murder and sentenced for the life in prison without parole. That's exactly what was done in this Idaho murders case as well. So the problem that I have is that family members who are wanting to cure their curiosity about their genetic heritage are actually providing evidence that will be used to convict a relative of a heinous crime. So when those people did that, did they intend to provide evidence to convict a future relative? No, of course not. They were just trying to see if they were from Czechoslovakia or not. But the unintended consequence of that curiosity could very well imprison a family member for the rest of their lives. So I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm not saying that it's illegal, improper, unethical, or immoral. What I'm suggesting is that we have no privacy today. Anyone, I do it every day in my law firm. I can find anything about anybody in about an hour and a half through the resources that I have. And if there's something I can't find, I hire an investigator who will do it digitally and find it for me. And I find stuff all the time. I could tell you a lot of stories about things I've found. Even last week, I found some things that the opposing counsel didn't even know about her own client. But the point is that all of that information can be found. The last vestige of privacy that you have in this country is the privacy of your DNA. And to me, it is astounding that people voluntarily disclose that last element of privacy that we have as human beings in a digital technological society, and we give it up voluntarily to see if we're Scottish. To me, that is the problem. Not necessarily the methods by the police, but that we shouldn't be voluntarily disclosing. It's just dropping our pants to the world in the last vestige of privacy. Hey, I hope you've enjoyed the show tonight. Make sure that you stick around, because coming up at 10 o'clock, we will have the best of the Dave Glover Show. That's up here from 10 to 11 right after the news. This has been At Your Service on Camo X. Thanks for sticking around with us. I will talk to you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.